Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 10, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 20, verse 10. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday right here at 6 p.m. as America prays and praises God. I do teach the word first. You're also invited to come every Sunday at 5 p.m. Please be on time because we're on the air, 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 20, verse 10. Last time we studied 1 through 9, and from God's heart to my heart to your heart, the title he gave me was, The First Always Work in the Vineyard. To understand that, Jesus was talking about the first shall be last and the last shall be first. To understand that, to give you a little recap, you have to understand that there was a first earth age before this one. Same earth, but a different age. 2 Peter 3:6. And you need to understand that everybody, all of you, everybody who's ever been a human being, was there in your spirit body, not flesh, spirit body. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. And then you need to know that there was a beautiful covering cherub called Lucifer, Isaiah 14. But one day he became proud and said, I will be God. He overthrew God's kingdom and rebelled and brought sin into the equation. Revelation 12 says one-third of God's children, probably some of you, followed that old dragon, that old devil, that old serpent, that old Satan, that old Antichrist, that old Lucifer, and betrayed God. But the good news is one-third of God's children in the spirit body, Revelation 12, did not follow the dragon. They stood up and fought for God, and they are called the first. They are the very first. Now, God did away with that first earth age and brought in this one. He sent out everybody one time in the flesh to choose Jesus or the Bible. However, in every generation, some of those in that group that stood up and fought for God have been sent out. So last time, Jesus gave them a parable. And he said the first ones were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 patriarchs. And then came Moses and Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and King David. And then came Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, Joel, Nahum, Malachi. And then came John the Baptist, Peter, James, and John, and all of the disciples and the Apostle Paul. And then he said, right here at the last, right here at the 11th hour, right this minute, God sent out the very first ones of that one-third who told the others, let's get up and fight for God. They are alive and well right now as we come to the end, as Antichrist is about to come. 7,000 elect who will not bow the knee to Satan. It's not a physical number, it is a spiritual number. Now, we learned last week that when Jesus comes after the Antichrist, the first ones he's going to reward are those who are alive right now who overcome the temptation of the Antichrist. And that's what he means. The first shall be last. The very first ones that said, hey, guys, let's get up and fight for God. They are here now at the last, and they're going to be the first ones to get an award. Now, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, the first have the servant's heart. The first have the servant's heart.
Verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. received every man a penny. Verse 11. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. 12. Saying, these last that have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day.
Now, these murmurers are not Abraham and David and Isaiah and all of those. You know who they are? They are people who are alive right now. Now, they love the Lord. We have many people on planet Earth serving the Lord, and they love him. But you know who these are? They don't even get an honorable mention in Revelation 12 because they are lukewarm. They make Jesus sick to his stomach. In other words, they are the lukewarmers. They were not cold or hot, either for Satan in the first earth age or for God. However, God got them saved here. They're alive right now, and they have a lot of big churches, and they've got a lot of money. And why in the world are they grumbling about God's elect? Well, because they don't understand that people who don't serve God for money or fame or fortune, they don't respect that. You see, they do that for fame or fortune. So they're going to be very mad at the elect. Don't ever be jealous of anyone in God's kingdom who has a lot of talents. You know why anyone has a lot of talents now? They earned it in the first earth age. To whom much is given, much is required. But these are the murmurers, and they are live right now. But when Jesus comes, they're going to be very jealous to see that the little unknown ones, the elect, are going to get the first award.
Verse 13, but he answered and said unto one of them, friend, I do thee no wrong.
Notice that Jesus calls him friend. No greater love hath this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus died for the murmurers and the murderers. He died for everyone.
Didst not thou agree with me for a penny?
I mean, did you want to be famous? Did you want to have the biggest church in the world? Did you want to be the big shot in the church? You got that. Be happy.
14. Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto these last even as unto thee. Verse 15. Is it not lawful to do what I will with mine own?
When Jesus says mine own, he means the very elect. That very, those very first ones that led the other first ones, that one-third of Revelation 12, to get up and fight for God, they are called the very elect right now. Why? They earned it in the first earth age. God could trust them then. And God could trust the very elect now, not to bow the knee to the Antichrist who's coming. He's about to come, and he's going to look like Jesus, talk like him, and act like him. Half of the body of Christ, the murmurs, are going to think it's Jesus and worship him.
Is thine eye evil because I am good? Verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen.
Many are called. Everybody's called to serve God in some capacity. The chosen are fewer. Ephesians 1:4, chosen from before the foundation of the world. Foundation, Greek katabol, the first earth age. Whether you're called or whether you're chosen, do the best you can with what you have, where you are, for Jesus' sake today, and Jesus will reward you.
Verse 17, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them,
now he's going to give some instructions to the 12 disciples. This is not to the multitudes.
Verse 18. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes.
Unto the phony church leaders.
And they shall condemn him to death.
Die, Jesus, they'll say.
Verse 19. I shall deliver him to the Gentiles, to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him.
To the Roman soldiers, they will strip him naked. They'll pull his beard out. They'll put a crown of thorns on him, spit on him, and they will beat him with 39 stripes until he looks like chopped liver, and they will nail him to the cross. Now, this is very hard for the disciples. They did not yet understand that Jesus came that first advent to die. They thought he was going to set up the kingdom right now. This is hard for them.
And the third day he shall rise again.
Well, it gave the bad news, but it gave the good news. All's well that ends well.
Amen. Verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children.
Now here comes Mrs. Zebedee.
With her sons.
That would be James and John. They're two of the disciples.
Worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him.
So far, this is good. Mrs. Zebedee knows that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, so she worships him before she asks for anything. That's good.
Verse 21. And he said unto her, what wilt thou?
The servant's heart never says, what can you do for me? The servant's heart always says, what can I do for you? Listen to the servant's heart.
She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom.
See, she also thinks Jesus is going to set up his kingdom on earth right then. Now, we give her a little bit of slack. She's got a mother's heart. Very sadly, mothers, thinking they love their children, want them to be the most popular, the prettiest, the richest, and the best. See, that is not what you should wish for your children. God might not want them to do that. He might want them to have the servant's heart.
22. And Jesus answered and said, you know not what ye ask.
Mrs. Zebedee, you don't know what you're asking. Christian, be careful what you ask for. You might think you're asking for a fish, but you might really be asking for a dangerous rattlesnake.
Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to baptize with the baptism that I am baptized with?
Do you have any idea that I'm going to bear the griefs and sorrows of all mankind? Do you know I'm going to take everybody's sins, everybody's sicknesses, and everybody's nervousness? I'm going to take this on me. You really want that?
And they say unto him, we are able.
Now, James and John still think that he's going to live and set up his kingdom. See, they've seen Jesus walk on the water, feed the multitudes, cast out demons. They say, yeah, we can do that, sure.
23. You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with.
Jesus looks down the corridors of time after he dies, after he arises from the dead and goes back to heaven. This same James will be the first of these 12 disciples who will be murdered. We studied that in Acts. And then he looks at John, Mrs. Zebedee's other son, and he will see that in 95 BC, John was thrown into a boiling oil and boiled and did not die. They took him out of the boiling oil and threw him to die on the Isle of Patmos where he wrote the book of Revelation. The heart that is a servant also suffers.
That to sit on my right hand and my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them of whom it is prepared of my Father.
You see, the Father already knows who's going to sit beside Jesus on the throne. They won't be God, but they'll sit with him. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, to those who overcome, I will grant to sit with me in my throne.
24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren.
Now, the disciples have a little bit of growing to do. They're a little bit carnal-minded. Each one of them wants to be the inner circle. They want to be the big shot in Jesus' kingdom. So they're jealous of James and John, or mad at them. How dare you? Who do you think you are? We're the best here. Sound familiar, anybody?
25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise authority over them, and they did a great exercise authority upon them.
Jesus says, in the world, which is full of sin, we have what we call the corporate ladder. You start out on the lower floor, and you've got a supervisor. But the supervisor's got a supervisor, and that one's got a supervisor. So in the world, because you're not dedicated to God, you just try to climb the corporate ladder, because everybody wants to be the head top there. He said, now that's the way the world does.
26, but it shall not be so among you.
But not you, Christians. You're not trying to be the head. You're willing to be the tail. You're not trying to be above. You're willing to be beneath. Why? The first have the servant's heart.
But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister.
A minister is someone who serves. In other words, they render a service. I mean, it could be one-on-one, anyone who's serving others.
27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant.
You want to be the head? Serve. The first have the servant's heart.
28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many.
I'm now going to give you five illustrations of those who have a servant's heart. And I pray to God that you will do likewise, for God wants you to have the servant's heart. We begin with the very top, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He always was, he is, he always will be. He created everything that is, and he is God. But he left all of heaven's glory to take on a little body here to suffer for us because he has the servant's heart. How did Jesus serve us? He began by showing us how to fast. After John the Baptist baptized Jesus and the Holy Spirit lighted on Jesus like a dove, Jesus went into the wilderness and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Why? To serve you, to serve me, to show us that we also can fast. Do you know, Christian, that fasting from food is the greatest weapon in your arsenal against the devil? And see, you use everything but that because your God is in your belly. So he served us by showing we should fast. Now, Jesus served us by showing us that you pray without ceasing. In John 17, it was about time for Jesus to go to the cruel cross, but he wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for others. He was praying for you. For he said, Father, I pray for those who are yet going to be born, those who are yet going to believe on me. They are in the world, but they're not of the world. I don't pray you take them out of the world, but I pray, Father, that you'll keep them from the evil of this world. He served you by praying for you. Jesus served us by washing the 12 disciples' dirty feet. In Bible times, they did not have paved roads, and they walked everywhere, and they wore sandals. So their feet would get very, very dirty. So when they entered into a house, the hostess with the mostest would have a pail of water and wash their dirty feet. But there was a teaching there. Jesus serves you by saying, you're on this dirty planet. The world is full of sin. And when you walk on this planet, Christian, you're going to get your feet dirty because you're walking in sin. But you see, Jesus washes you with water by the word of God. Amen. And cleans you up with his blood. Then Jesus served us by dying in our stead. My board says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, everyone was doomed to die. But Jesus paid our sin debt. He died in our stead, and he paid our sin debt. He arose from the dead, and now you may have eternal life. Look at that servant's heart, but look how he suffered. Jesus gave up everything that you might live. That's the servant's heart. Now let's look at the servant's heart of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul had it made. He had everything. He was a Hebrew of a Hebrew, of the tribe of Benjamin, Abraham's seed. He was a Hebrew scholar. He was high there in the synagogue. He made a lot of money. He had a sister. He had a nephew and was young enough to get married. But one day, Apostle Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he gave up everything because he had the servant's heart. How did Paul serve us? By the Holy Spirit's help, Paul wrote half of the New Testament to show us how to live for Jesus. But he suffered because he had the servant's heart. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten by a viper, and he shook it off. He was beaten with 40 stripes minus one 5 times. He was left for dead, and he was in prison so many times. Paul had the servant's heart. Let's look at the servant's heart of President Donald John Trump. President Trump had everything. He had a beautiful wife. He was very rich. He was invited to all the parties. The Democrats loved him. The Republicans loved him because he could give them money. And he had the top show in the media for 14 years, and they wanted to renew his assignment. However, President Trump, with his beautiful Christian wife, Melania, came down the escalator, and he suffered. Oh, did he suffer. Did you know Donald Trump never took a salary? Look at the one before him. He's a millionaire now. He took more than a salary. Donald Trump never had a vacation. He worked his heart out for the American people. How did Donald Trump serve us? I could not write enough books to tell you, but I'll give you some. Donald Trump made America energy free. I mean, we've been paying big bills to buy oil from our enemies, but we didn't have to do that anymore. Donald Trump kept every promise. He built a 500-mile wall to keep the drug czars out and keep them from sending those little children who are coming over there to be sold as slave sex, and he did all of that. Donald Trump did the greatest thing for the black colleges. Every year, the black colleges have to go up to Washington and say, please fund us. Donald Trump said, why do you come every year? They said, because we have to. Donald Trump said, no more. From now on, I'm an executive order. The black college is going to always be funded. Amen. Donald Trump did more for blacks, Asians, and Latinos than any president we have ever had, even more and more than the black president we had. He gave jobs for all of them. And Donald Trump did more for the Christians. He reduced so many of the regulations on our ministries. Donald Trump rebuked China. China's been ripping us off for years, and he put sanctions on China. He did so very, very much for all of us. Donald Trump, the servant's heart, but he served. Let's look at the servant's heart of the American policeman. Policemen do not get a large salary. And every time they walk out the door to go to work, they don't ever know if they're ever going to see their loved ones again. They put their life on the line. And so you see, let's not defund them, let's raise their funds, because the policemen have the servant's heart. 99.9% of them do it to help people, and they are good people. They have the servant's heart. Last but not least, let's look at the servant's heart of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence on August 2nd, 1776. These 56 men came together and made a pledge to risk their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor to sign the Declaration of Independence. Why? Because they believed it was every American's God-given right to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, they gave up everything. Many of these signers of the Declaration of Independence were captured by the Brits. They were tortured until they died. Their children were captured, put in prison, and tortured. Many of them so wounded, they were never able to walk again. and many of them had their homes torched and burned to the ground. They had the servant's heart. They gave up everything. They had the servant's heart.
29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Have mercy, O Lord, upon us, thou son of David."
These two blind men are blind, but they are not spiritually blind. There is none so blind as those who do not see spiritual truth. You know why they called him Son of David? They could see spiritually. They knew the scriptures had said that the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, would come through the lineage of David. So you see, you might have 20/20 vision, but I can tell you, a blind person who has spiritual vision has a lot greater vision than you. There is none so blind as those who do not know why you're here on this planet. It's not to get, it's to give. It's not to be served, it's to serve, to have the servant's heart.
Verse 31. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace.
All those thousands of people were spiritually blind. "Don't call him Son of David," they said. Again, there's none so blind as those who cannot see. Look at the multitudes talking to us every day, blind as a bat, have no idea what's going on.
But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord, thou Son of David."
In Luke chapter 18, Jesus gives a story, a parable of a woman who came to a wicked judge to avenge her. The wicked judge would not, but she kept on coming back. She would not give up. And Jesus said, because of her importunity, shameless persistence, she got that which she asked for. The ones with a servant's heart never give up. Perseverance wins. As Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up. That's the servant's heart.
Verse 32. And Jesus stood still.
When you pray without ceasing and you give your life away to serve the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Jesus pays attention.
And called them and said, "What will ye that I should do to you?"
Now Jesus is about to go to the cross, but look, the servant's heart. "What can I do for you?"
Verse 33. And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be open." Verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them.
The servant's heart loves, loves, loves.
And he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight.
Now, they not only could see spiritually, they could see physically.
And they followed him.
All who have the servant heart follow Jesus. The first are now working in the vineyard. Very few people ever say, "Good job." They live Spartan lives. They don't ever beg for money. They work for the night is coming till man's work is o'er. And the first have the servant's heart. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Mercer. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Good job.
Amen. Thank Amen. You. Thank you. Well, somebody said good job. I appreciate that. Okay, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
"Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and a gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 60.
Absolutely beautiful. Great start. That is so great. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, if you're not saved when the 11th hour, no longer delay. And you Christians who are not giving your all, you better stop delaying too, because you want Jesus to smile on you. But those of you who are lost, pray this with me. Mean it. And God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I stop them right now.
I stop them right now.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Please wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Please wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize and fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Teach me to pray.
Teach me to pray.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Now for those of you out there in cyberspace, the Bible says confession is made to salvation. In a little while, you're going to get my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave your confession on my voicemail. Say your name clearly, and I will pray for you. And now I'm going to pray for the sick. I always ask the Lord for what I should pray for. And today, I feel led to pray for those of you who are slaves. You're not slaves to human being, but you are slaves to addictions. You are a slave to cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, pornography, gluttony, too much food. Now, before I pray for you, let me bind you to the word so you can be free. When Jesus died on the cross, he took everybody's sins, he took everybody's sicknesses, but what you probably don't know, he took your anxiety, that nervousness. Oh, I just gotta have a cigarette. I just gotta have a drink. I just gotta have a hit. I just gotta have a pornography. I gotta have another cake. He took that anxiety that makes you do that. How do I know that? See, we always talk about the stripes and all of that. Isaiah 53:5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Precious Jesus. He took everything. You know how you get the shakes when you don't get your cigarette or your drink or your drugs or your food? He took that all on himself. Now you say, well, great, but what can I do about it? All right, he's already done it. Your peace has already been paid for. Let's say you go into a room, it's dark, but you paid your electricity bill. All you have to do is flip on the switch. The electricity is there. Your deliverance from addiction is already there. So, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask according to Malachi 4, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. Open ears to hear, to let their hearts reach out, turn on the switch, and take the peace that passes understanding, no longer needing anything else, for Jesus took the shakes for them. Jesus took all of that for them. And now, the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you. Go and believe. Turn on the switch, accept the peace, and be free. No longer a slave. The truth has made you free. In Jesus' name. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing is given you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Your first best friend is Jesus. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Soldiers watched in vain.
once was lost, I walked away. The road was dark, I could not see. My hope was gone, the pain was real. But your mercy, you saw my steps, you felt my fears, you heard my cries, you caught my tears. Arms open wide, you ran to me with your mercy. Your mercy, your mercy. I stand before my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy. You give me life beyond the grave. My deepest shame is cast away. You sing a song that covers me. It's your mercy. Your mercy. Me to repentance. Your loving kindness leads me to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Your mercy, your mercy. I stand before my King and bow my heart to sing. You say, so fair, you run away. And one more time, you have to pay the heaviness of needless shame. Oh, heart of mine, come back home. You've been too long. Child of God, so dearly loved and ransomed by the Savior's blood and called by name, daughter and son, wrapped in the robe of righteousness.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Oh, what a wonderful wonder. finally find my way to heaven's door, where I won't need my faith anymore. And my eyes behold your majesty, where I'll join with the angels and we'll say, oh, what a wonderful wonder, a display of great beauty and power. Oh, what a wonderful wonder you are, oh, you.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Peace when you ought not have peace. Joy when you ought not have joy. Power when you ought not have power.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's what we get when God's power invades our earthly situation.
When you would normally quit, you still got fighting power. Why? Because the spiritual is infusing you in the physical.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. For too many people, there's church life and real life, two different realities that weaken our faith and perpetuate our problems. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explains how all that can change when God becomes our banner of victory.
Our name for God today is Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is my banner. It comes out of Exodus chapter 17. And remember, the names of God most normatively come out of the situations in life, scenarios people found themselves in that needed God's divine intervention. Usually they were problems. And these problems needed divine intervention. And so a name of God would be assigned, or God would use that problem to reveal himself. So the bad news today is life has problems. The good news today is God has a name for them. That whatever you're facing, there is a name for God that is applicable to the crisis that you are in. The people of God were discouraged. You always know when you are discouraged. You always know when your faith in God has waned. And the proof of that can be made clear by the amount of complaining you do. Complaining as a way, we all complain from time to time, but complaining as a modus operandi, that is, as the way you are flowing, you're operating by complaints, it's normative to complain, is often an indication of a waning of faith. God's people in Exodus chapter 17 had been complaining because of the lack of water when they had camped at Rephidim. And they complained and God provided. The highlight of their complaint is verse 7. When they said at the end of the verse, is the Lord among us or not? Where is God when you need him most? That was the question that was on the people's mind because things were dry. No water. Things were dry. And life does get dry sometimes. And you need some refreshing. So they just come out of this problem with the water. And isn't it just like life? Soon as one thing gets fixed, another thing breaks. Isn't it like that? Well, you know, you pay one bill and another bill goes crazy. You know, just soon as you think you've gotten over the hump, there's a new hill bidding you to climb it. Well, the scenario is pointed out in chapter 17, verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. Rephidim is a rugged desert place near Mount Horeb where the water source had been very low. God's people were weary, and wouldn't you know it, now they've got a deal with Amalek. Amalek has shown up, and Amalek wants to fight. Amalek wants to resist them. Just when it looks like things have gotten better, they finally got some water, things go south again. And it looks like the Lord is not on their